The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio, or its employees, or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you do not believe, it's important to understand that when you die, your spirit will just come out of your body and you'll be stuck where you die unless you're collected by a witch or something. You could end up in a coffin, fully conscious, fully aware, forever and ever, or in a crematorium oven. Is that how you want to spend eternity? Important to know that the Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you don't believe and you think something nice is going to happen when you die, you're in for a nasty shock. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you're also in for a shock. You'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? So again, if you sort of believe and you're not really doing very much about it, you're in for a nasty shock when you die. The Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. If you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, great supernatural powers, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yeshua, who you may know as Jesus. This series is designed to address a wide diversity of things that are standing between you and having a deep relationship with the Almighty Father. And I hope you will get benefit from tonight's program. Tonight is a very controversial talk. We're talking about continuing the talk about seven times as many women as men in the body of true believers. And we're going to look at the lie of monogamy, something that you may have indigestion with, but I ask you to hear me out and think about it and pray about it. So, overview of tonight's program. This broadcast looks further at the reality that there are seven times more women than men in the body of true believers, and then looks at the problems associated with the lie of enforced monogamy. We look at the reality that monogamy is not from the Creator. We discuss the evils of the false doctrine of monogamy and why Yah hates the doctrine of monogamy. We discuss that the taking of virginity is a covenant act. We look at the history of the false doctrine of monogamy. Then we look at divorce because of monogamy, and we discuss mighty men who fall because of monogamy. look again at the reality of 7 times more women than men who are true believers, and I share the buttress principle relating to multiple wives, and that the loss of youthful virginity results in most so-called marriages being adulterous. We also will look at the lie of one perfect life partner. We will examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, my name is James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for 25 years. I've been a business executive in the United Kingdom for the last few years. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993 when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. www.endtimeissueministries.org. Questions from last week's program. Anne asked, how can we learn to walk with the Creator? Well, Anne, you've come to the right place. If you go back about 4 or 5 months, there's a series of, I think it's 9 broadcasts on 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty. I suggest that you listen to them on the website, or download the transcripts, or download volume 0 of the book set from the website. Missy asks, if it is fair for a man to have more than one wife at a time, does it stand that a woman can take more than one husband at a time? Missy, I'm sorry to disappoint you. No, it's not that way. Father created us, and you'll see this in more detail in tonight's program. Father created us in such a way and could have several wives, and in fact needs several wives. We'll look at that in more detail later on this afternoon. Donnie asks, do we ever really move on from another totally? Donnie, tough one. If you've been very close to somebody, made love lots of times, built love, lots of good memories, it's very difficult to move on. You can move on if you pray all the prayers and do all the things that I spoke about over the last 3 or 4 weeks. You will eventually be able to put that behind you. Father did not intend us to terminate relationships. He intended us to get married at a young age and to live together forever for the rest of our lives. Timber asks, bet lots of people are praying these days so their days won't be numbered. Timber, yes indeed. Interesting, with regard to the coronavirus, Father says that it's not a manufactured thing, so it's not man-made. And he's actually quite pleased with the coronavirus. He says a lot of unbelieving believers are turning to him, a lot of believing unbelievers are turning to him, and a lot of believers are drawing closer to him. He's not really worried about the unbelievers who are dying early, because most of the people who are infected are unbelievers. He is really looking for people to turn to him. What we find distressing on earth as human beings are not necessarily things that upset him. Jasper asked, lots of people will pray when they need things. Certainly, yes. I'm sure there are a lot of people right now who are praying who probably have never prayed before or haven't prayed for a long time. So tonight's program, we're going to look first of all at 7 times as many women as men, and continuing from the tail end of last week's program. In September 2011, I wrote an article titled Single Anointed Woman, The Challenge. Nothing much has changed since then. If anything, the situation has deteriorated. At that time, I reported that Yah had stated that on earth at that time, there were only about 5,000 anointed believers who were in any way at all making a difference on earth, and that of these 5,000, only a very small number were making a real impact. In the months since I wrote that article, I had contact with a number of people who Yah indicated to me were part of the 5,000, and it was alarming to realize how little most of us were doing for Yah in this age, myself included. I found it distressing that I was doing so little, and yet Yah said I was closer to him than most, primarily because I was making a serious effort to walk in the revelation that I had with regard to the Ten Commandments and the true names, the Sabbath, etc. From this, I inferred that similar comments applied to most of this group. Many of the 5,000 were not even getting those basics right, the names, the Sabbaths, etc. At that stage, overall, it was apparent that the forces of darkness were winning hands down. Even most of those who had been or were anointed, and even most of those who were performing signs and wonders, were not part of the 5,000 because of critical errors in their knowledge or doctrine around things like the true names, etc. With the result that while they thought they were serving Yah as God, they were actually serving Satan, the one. Perhaps the most challenging statistic that I get was given was as follows. Of the 5,000, 8 were women. Of the men, only 2 were single, but had no intention of marrying, and the rest, 623, were in covenant or marriage relationships. Most of these men were in covenant who were not part of the 5,000, and many were being dragged down by this unequal yoking. Folks, it's so important to understand, if you are a believer, you need to be yoked to somebody who's also a believer. It's an abomination for a believer to join themselves to an unbeliever. If you look at the website, if you look at the covers of my books, you'll see the graphic of the mountain. And that'll give you a clearer picture of what I'm talking about here. There are a minuscule number of people who are truly serving Yah. People who are worshipping Jesus, people who are worshipping the Bible, are not, for the most part, serving Yah, the Creator, the Almighty One. It's really not a pretty picture. Of the women, half, 2,187, were in covenant union or marriage, and the other half were single. Most of those in covenant union were joined to men who were not part of the 5,000, and many were being dragged down by this unequal yoking. Most of those men would never form part of the 5,000. Of the single woman, about half, 1,094, had an aspiration of being in a lifetime covenant union with a man, and the other half had given up and dedicated their lives to serving Yah only. By virtue of the statistics above, those women who were seeking will either give up or join themselves to a man who is almost certain to be unsuitable, who will draw them away from Yah. There are not many single men in the ranks of those who are just outside the 5,000 cut line either. Folks, is an extremely important principle here. If you are a believing woman and you're joined to a man who's an unbeliever, you need to get divorced. The vast majority of unbelievers will never change. So if you've been praying for your husband to get saved for goodness knows how many years and witnessing to him and everything, it's time to get out. If you're joined to a man who's much weaker than you, you need to do everything on your part to help him grow closer, and it may be in time that Father will permit you to divorce. If you're single, for goodness sake, stay single. There are just no men to go around. The challenge then, if you're one of the single women in the roughly 1,100 listed above who's seeking a man, and there are quite a few single women on my mailing list, the question is, what do you do? The obvious solution is provided in Isaiah 4:1, which states that in the last days, seven women will cling to one man to marry them. But from harsh experience, I have to tell you that the women of this age cannot share their man, no matter how anointed they are. No matter how certain they are that sharing is God's will, they just cannot do it as a consequence of early childhood programming, which makes a woman whose man takes another woman a really bad person. The deep-seated toxic psychological responses are intense. The best advice I can give if you're one of those women is to let go of your desire for a man. Dedicate yourself totally to Yah and ask Yah to take away your sexual desire, or instead form a close covenant relationship with one or more women who are also close to Yah and satisfied your need for companionship and, if you so choose, sex this way. Folks, as I said, tonight's program is pretty controversial. A lot of people will be offended by what I've just said. There's absolutely nothing in the Bible or anywhere else where Yah prohibits two women in a covenant relationship from being sexually intimate. It is far better that they do that than join themselves to an unbeliever or a man who is much weaker than they are. By all means, choose celibacy. But there's plenty of evidence that most people who choose celibacy fall at some time. So covenanting with another woman is definitely an option. In conclusion, there's a major gender imbalance in the body of true believers today. There are far more women than men in this group, characterized most dramatically by those who make up the 5,000 anointed believers who are having some impact on the forces of darkness. Single women are advised to remain single and not seek a man, and to ask Yah to remove their sexual desire or else choose to satisfy it with another woman in a lifetime covenant relationship. I mentioned last week that there are, and several times before that, that there are many more women than men in heaven, particularly on high thrones. Folks, if you're a man and you have some weird idea that you're superior to women, I urge you to think again. In the real world of what really matters, according to Yah's view of things, women are far more successful than men. And in heaven, most of the people in powerful places in heaven. So if you've got a prejudice, I suggest to you, man, it's time to let go of that. Women and men are fundamentally equal to one another in different ways. They form part of a team. We created to be in a team of a man and women. It's all the wrong teaching and wrong belief, corrupted by the satanic and demonic realm, that's got us believing otherwise. So now let's move on to an even more controversial topic, and that is that monogamy is not from Yah. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, says that one of the greatest evils in the world today relates to the lies that are propagated with regard to virginity. Sexual intercourse with a virgin ushers in a lifetime covenant that cannot be easily broken. Refer to the previous broadcasts on the virgin's covenant. It is possible for a man to take the virginity of more than one woman, and therefore it is possible for him to marry more than one woman. This is directly contrary to common teaching that there is such a thing as sex before marriage, and that only legal marriage in front of a pastor, priest, or magistrate has any standing. This is not so. The taking of virginity gives rise to a lifetime blood covenant. Please refer to the previous broadcasts on the Virgin's Covenant. Folks, I can't stress this enough. Virginity is sacred, it's pure, it's special. It's not something that you give to some teenager on the backseat bar because your sex drive has gone into overload. It's something to be given beautifully in a beautiful setting with beautiful preparation, with skilled lovemaking. It's so sad when we don't get this right. And it's even more sad if a boy and a girl give their virginity and then go on to have sex with others, destining themselves for time in hell if they're believers. If you're unbelievers, it doesn't matter, folks. This broadcast is not for unbelievers. The only reason for an unbeliever to listen to this is that you think there's a reason you should believe. What you do as an unbeliever is of no consequence to the Almighty. He doesn't care what you do. Since it is possible for a man to take the virginity of more than one woman, it is possible for him to marry more than one woman. It is apparent from the existence of the hymen, which is the seal of virginity, that the Almighty Creator intended women to have only one sexual partner for life, and for men to be able to have more than one sexual partner for life. One-night stands are an abomination in the sight of the Creator, and it is an abomination to suggest otherwise. There are lots of supposedly God-fearing men and women, pastors and priests, who are in for a nasty shock when they die. Father has said that lies about virginity will result in more people ending up in the place of correction, that is hell, that we're talking about believers now, for a season, than any other single error. In most cases, the term in hell will be lengthy and the judgment will be painful. Father has also said that false teachings about sex in general are keeping more people from believing than any one error of the modern church. Folks, we are sexual beings. Father created us to enjoy sexual lovemaking within a lifetime covenant union. He intended us to be skilled in love, considerate in lovemaking, talented in lovemaking. He intended us to concern ourselves only with the pleasure of our partner and let them concern themselves with our pleasure. Sex is powerful, sex is beautiful, and it is so corrupt today. In addition, as I mentioned just now, there are approximately 7 times more women than men in the body of true believers, with the result that huge numbers of women who believe and at some level love the Almighty are in abusive marriages or suboptimal marriages with unbelievers, thereby keeping them away from the Almighty. And those men who do know the Almighty and who have the capacity to meet the needs of more than one woman are prevented from doing so. In both cases, these people often fall into fornication because they cannot cope sexually. It is a harsh reality that the vast majority of women in the Western world, at least, are unable to share their man, and is therefore vital to understand that entering into a covenant, that a monogamy must be agreed before first intercourse. Refer the detailed broadcasts on the Virgin's Covenant. Remember what I said in those broadcasts. If you consummate between a man and a woman who's free to consummate sexual intercourse for the first time without agreeing the terms of a covenant, the default terms apply. And one of those default terms is that the man is entitled to take more than one wife. One, if you gave your virginity unwisely to your husband without getting him to agree to monogamy, and he has a so-called extramarital relationship with a woman who's a virgin or truly divorced or a widow, you have no basis to require him to put that woman away. In October 2011, I wrote an article, "The Evils of the False Doctrine of Monogamy: Why YAH Hates the Doctrine of Monogamy." I'm going to run through that tonight and we'll finish it off hopefully next week. At the time of writing the article, it was so that I regularly came into contact with people who thought that Yah ordained monogamy and that it was Yah's best or Yah's perfect will. This article sought to set the record straight and make it clear why it is that the doctrine of monogamy is false and why Yah hates it. In 1995, I encountered an anointed pastor who, when I tried to share this with him, said, "James, I will find 15,000 Bible school graduates who will agree with me, and not one will agree with you." And I went to Father, and Father said, "That's absolutely true. The Bible schools are teaching lies." So whatever you've heard about monogamy and virginity and marriage, etc., just put it aside for a few minutes and listen to what I have to say. So to start, the taking of virginity is a covenant act. I've said this several times. Women are born with a hymen, a membrane covering the opening of the vagina, which ruptures with the shedding of blood on first intercourse. Women only have one hymen, and it can only be ruptured and shed once. Yah created women from the beginning with a hymen. And therefore, whatever the hymen teaches us about the covenant relationship between man and woman, this thing we call marriage, is definitive. In Genesis 2:24, we read that a man shall cleave to his woman. That is, cut open his woman by splitting her open in her cleft, similar to cutting meat with a meat cleaver. In Deuteronomy 22, we read that a woman must be a virgin on the day she consummates a covenant union, and if she is not, she is in adultery and she is to be stoned to death. We also read that if a man takes the virginity of a woman by force, he may not put her away all his days. Genesis 15 describes how Yah cut covenant with Abram. Abram took some animals and split them in two along the backbone, and laid them out before Yah, and Yah walked between the halves. In Jeremiah 34, we read of people cutting a covenant by walking between the halves of a calf. On reflection, there is no particular explanation for the form of a woman's cleft, other than that in appearance it approximates the two halves of a covenant animal, and that the act of first sexual intercourse with the shedding of blood sees the man walking in the blood between the two halves of the covenant organ. Thus we see that from the very beginning, Father Yah had covenant in mind when he designed the sexual organs of man and woman. Note also that man has a foreskin, which is not affected at all by first intercourse, but which Yah commands to be cut off in circumcision as a covenant act dedicating the man to Yah, also with the shedding of blood, and also only possible once. Folks, this is deep stuff. I really ask you to consider seriously what I'm sharing with you. You cannot fully understand sex and unless you understand the covenant nature of sex, unless you understand the consequences of sex, unless you understand that Father created sex to be something powerful and beautiful between a man and a woman in a lifetime covenant. Thus it is apparent that a woman only cut covenant with one man, and beyond that, intercourse with further men is adultery and a sin punishable by death, whether in this life or the life to come, whereas a man can cut covenant with any number of women. It is therefore apparent that from the very beginning of the creation of man and woman, Yah had in mind for more than one woman to cut covenant with the same man. The doctrine of monogamy is therefore clearly false and clearly not from Yah. And since Yah has never removed the hymen, Yah has never changed in his intention for more than one woman to covenant with one man. It is an abomination in the sight of Yah and great sin to suggest otherwise. If you want to practice monogamy, you must consciously and by covenant restrict yourself sexually accordingly and teach others to do the same. One night stands, sex before marriage, are not valid. fundamental to this point is that there is no such thing as sex before marriage. There is either sex as a covenant act or there is adultery. What we have today with church marriages, magistrates' marriages, is that because we don't teach the truth about virginity, something else had to be done to enter into some sort of covenant. And so we have adulterous things that we call marriage, but they're not marriage. They're adulterous unions that are blessed and prescribed over by pastors and priests and magistrates, who will all pay a nasty price in their judgment for practicing lies. The history of monogamy. It is important to understand that monogamy as a widespread practice only came about for the first time in the Roman Empire around the time of Yahshua. You may know him as Jesus. It was accompanied with widespread divorce, prostitution, and fornication generally. In fact, is the essence of what Yahushua was speaking against. He spoke against divorce. Monogamy was first legislated in the Christian church about 600 AD by the Roman Emperor Justinian at about the same time that Yah sent Muhammad to speak correction with regard to the errors and sins of the Christian church. Again, as in the present age, monogamy was associated with divorce, prostitution, pornography, and fornication generally. Monogamy was only legislated in the Jewish faith about 900 AD in response to persecution by the pagan monogamous Christian church. It is important to recognize that if it were Yah's will that man and woman were monogamous, it would have not been necessary for men to legislate it. There is so much wrong thinking and wrong teaching around this topic. If you really dig into it, a true union between a man and several women can be, was intended to be, something beautiful and extremely powerful. That's why the satanic realm hates it. Because a family of three or four believers, one man and two or three women, would be an extremely powerful force for good. Next point, divorce because of monogamy. In 1995, I listened to a teaching bemoaning the fact that roughly two-thirds of all marriages in Western society, including so-called Christian marriages, ended in divorce. I was deeply concerned by this and immediately prayed, Father, why is this? That night, Yah started to answer me by showing me in Exodus 21:10 that it was permissible for a man to take more than one woman. And he confirmed this through Timothy 3:2 and 3:10, which apparently limit an overseer or bishop to one wife, and therefore, by extension, indicates that other men at the time had more than one woman. It turns out that this is a translation error, and the verse does not, in fact, limit an overseer to one woman. In the days and years that followed, Yah spoke to me extensively about the errors of the Christian church with regard to marriage, and in 1998 I wrote the book, The Scriptural Definition of Marriage, Adultery, and Divorce, What the Bible Really Says About Marriage. Email me if you would like a copy. It is also on the website under the Men and Women menu item. It's also in Volume 5 of the book set. Subsequently, Yah took me through a very intense and very painful practical learning curve relating to the way he intended the covenant union between man and woman to be, and showed me how totally corrupt the teachings of the Christian church are. At the time of writing this article, Yah said to me very clearly, I hate the doctrine of monogamy. And when I asked for clarification, he said, I hate divorce. And since monogamy is the number one cause of divorce, it is logical that by extension, I hate monogamy. Let's look at mighty men who fall because of monogamy. So we see that Yah programmed man to desire to cover more than one woman. Cursory study of the Bible reveals that almost all mighty men of Yah in the Bible, and in fact almost all mighty men in those times, generally had more than one wife. Solomon went over the top, but the vast majority had a number of wives, and those wives fully accepted plural marriage as Yah's perfect will in their lives, and willingly shared a good and powerful man rather than covenant with a less suitable man. Thus it is perfectly normal for a man who is in contact with a single woman to want to cover her, and it is perfectly normal for her to desire his covering, even when he is already in covenant with a woman. And in Yah's sight, this is perfectly acceptable and in fact pleasing. So there's no way that Yah is going to stop the man or the woman from consummating a perfectly natural relationship in the sight of Yah. For the same reason, even if the man is not a believer, it is entirely normal for him to desire covenant with more than one woman. Satan constantly uses the false doctrine of monogamy to trip up leaders of Yah's people and government and business leaders by making them wrong for desiring to cover more than one woman. It is an abomination in the sight of Yah. If one chooses monogamy, it is up to the man to exercise self-control and restraint and not get into a situation with a single woman where the desire to cover her and her desire to be covered takes over and results in consummation of a relationship that they're not able to carry through. By way of extension and illustration, consider Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Clinton, and other powerful men who have fallen because they have got involved with multiple women. How different their lives would have been if they had understood that if they had a sex with a woman once, it was for life, and that they had taken multiple wives instead of the things that they got into, which hurt women and hurt them eventually as well. It's actually a very grievous situation. Revisiting again the question of seven times more women than men in the body of believers. In the more than 10 years prior to writing this article, I'd written repeatedly of the reality that 7 out of 8 believers in the body of true believers were women. I also wrote that of the 5,000 people on earth closest to Yah, 7 out of 8 are women, and that of those women, half do not. Those that do have men, most of those men are further from Yah than the women, and are therefore pulling many of those women away from Yah. The satanic and demonic realm know the statistic and get great satisfaction from the huge falling away and great heartache and confusion that results from the false doctrine of monogamy. Satan also gets great satisfaction from the great sin of the women who have a man who refuse to share their man with other women who desperately need a man, or refuse to allow their man to take more than one woman, even though he clearly needs more than one woman in his life. Yah was not confused when he created man and woman, such that 7 times more women than men would seek Yah, and it is a great abomination in the sight of Yah that men and women teach otherwise. The buttress principle. Why monogamy destabilizes Yah's men. Many years ago, Yah showed me that the role of women is to stabilize and underpin and support their covenant man. And in a vision, he showed me this as supporting a tower, also as guy ropes stabilizing a mast. He also showed me that this is the fins on a rocket. With less than 3 buttresses, guy ropes, or stabilizing fins, most men will fall over spiritually under attack, and many never get back up. With 3 or more women who do not then have to be that strong, just about any man will stand under an onslaught. With less than 3 women, most men will fall over. The bottom line is that unless a woman is extremely strong in the service of Yah and totally committed to and aligned with her man, it is extremely difficult for a single woman, for one woman on her own, to buttress her man. Folks, what am I saying? Well, part of what I'm saying is that men on their own are actually not that strong. So if you're a woman and you feel that I'm somehow making women to be second rate. That's not the way I see it. We're equal partners with distinct roles to perform. It's really silly to think that we know better than you are. If you can't see what I'm describing, just say, Father, please help me to understand what James is saying. Don't set up in opposition to me. I've spent a good few years coming to the place where I'm confident that what I'm saying to you is Yah's truth. He wants us to be strong. Forces of darkness don't. Let's talk about lost youthful virginity, why most marriages are adultery. Another extension of the lie of monogamy is the lie that young women at puberty who are not fit to enter into covenant with a man, resulting in the belief that Yah was confused in creating to reach sexual maturity at age about 13, while only permitting them to marry at age 16 or 18. The result that two-thirds of young women lose their virginity before age 18, so that they, when they do legally marry, they're not joining themselves to the man who took their virginity and are actually entering into adultery, with the result that the unions are cursed from the beginning and most eventually end in divorce. The issue is that false teachings keep young women from guidance and teaching that would enable them to mature emotionally and psychologically at a sufficiently early age in order to enter into covenant at the age that Yah originally intended. Given the legal constraints, it is vital that young women are told the truth and assisted to keep themselves pure until they're able to legally join themselves to a suitable man at the age of 18 or whatever the marriage age is in your country. Note that parents should select the right man, and if a woman does not have both parents to assist her, she should seek Yah's guidance to find the right man for her to contract with as helpmeet, helper meet to conform to her man. Folks, again, very controversial. Some societies do allow marriage at the age of puberty, but then they pair girls or men in their 50s and 60s. Who are just trophy hunting. That's not what we're talking about. Understand that if any society, if any religion, if any group has an important truth, the satanic and demonic realm will corrupt everything they can around that truth so that the truth is lost. And that's what we have in societies where marriage at puberty is permitted. I'm not saying that we should allow women to marry at puberty in our society because the girls are not ready. I am saying that we should help them to stand firm until they are ready to marry. The lie of the perfect one-life partner. One of the lies associated with the lie of monogamy is the lie of the perfect one-life partner. This lie has it that there is one perfect partner for every human being, and therefore, by extension, having married, if something happens that a person finds someone else that seems to be more suitable, or something happens that shows that the present partner is not as suitable as I thought, that either way, divorce is acceptable. Fact of the matter is that once one has entered into covenant, Yah expects that to be for life, and that it is possible for the union between any man and woman to succeed if they put Yah first and put Yah's principles of headship and submission first and walk in love, meekness, etc. See 1 Corinthians 13. Folks, please understand, I'm not talking about unbelievers here. What unbelievers do is between them and their God, which is Satan. I'm talking about believers here. If you're truly seeking to serve Yah, and you have a covenant with a man or woman who is truly seeking to serve Yah, it is Yah's intention that that union will work. And if you listen to the teachings on the different facets of what comes into play with the sexual relationship about a month ago, you'll find all sorts of things that you can do to succeed. So I'm out of time. I'll continue that topic hopefully next week. But I'd like to ask you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator right now? Where are you relative to Him? Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose. You will be bitterly disappointed when you die. As a recap from what I broadcast about a year and a half ago when I started these broadcasts, Father created human beings to be His friends. He created us to do things with Him. He created us to learn with Him. He gave us the ability to choose. He gave us the ability to take decisions. And He gave us the ability to choose to grow in relationship with Him or to ignore Him totally. Sadly, through the machinations of the satanic and demonic realm, almost the entire population of Earth today don't believe He exists, totally disregard Him, totally ignore Him, and carry on as though He doesn't exist. And even those who at some level believe are mostly way off track. In wrapping up, five key documents, which I think are probably the most important that I've published. Also main menu pages on the web, main menu items on the web website. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship, songs that are strongly recommended. The Creator's name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on a high throne for eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcript of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationship create. Let's try that again. relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know. And we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, WhatsApp, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. I want to stress, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your religion, your race, your education, your financial position. Father wants to become your friend. There is so much to learn. I've been down a very difficult road over 27 years. I've documented extensively. There are over 1,000 pages on the website. There are over 9,000 pages in the set of books. There's a huge amount of information that you can draw on to follow where I have gone and go way beyond me. My desire is for you to become closer to Almighty than I am. My desire is for you to become a greater friend than I am. My desire for you is to reach more people than I've reached. Father wants us to pave the way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium. Will you help me to work towards that goal? Please email me. Thanks so much. Good night. Father, I